Salvation. Have you heard of salvation? Peter says we are to grow with respect to salvation. And he also says we should pay attention to the word. What does Romans 10:17 say? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Now salvation, how long do you have to pray for salvation? long enough to get 6 or 7 words out, I would suppose, right? All who call on the name of the Lord. Why is that? Because salvation is not something that has to be created. It's not something that's going to be developed other than in you. It is something that has been provided by the blood of the Lamb. It is there. You make the decision to believe in your heart and you're justified. And then you make the confession unto salvation. Romans 10:10. It's a gift. Salvation is a gift. Somebody said it was the most important gift. I didn't think so. I asked, where's the scripture on that? Have you got scripture on that? Okay. The reason I said that is the scripture that Jesus referred to was that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, which to me makes him the most important gift. Okay? But no one picked up on that except me. Anyway, but I'm not trying to argue with salvation not being a nice gift, okay? And it is by grace that we are saved. But what did Jesus say? Was it the gold in the temple or the temple that made the gold? That was important. He said the temple. And what is important? The salvation that Jesus brought or the Jesus that brought the salvation? Well, Sigmar doesn't know what I'm talking about. I really liked the way Sigmar played The Days of Elijah tonight. Did you like that? But anyway, that was last week, eh? Oh, okay. Anyway, so now salvation is cool. You need it. Unless you're born again, you don't see or enter the kingdom. So, and I mentioned before, born again in the New Testament is taught once. Now, it's mentioned a couple times, but it's taught once. Kingdom is over 100 times. That's a beautiful song. We should get up and dance. No. Oh. And kingdom is actually why Jesus came. To get us saved into kingdom. But what is this kingdom? And what do you know about it so far? How good are you at kingdom? If Jesus thought it was important, did Jesus think it was more important than salvation? Don't forget to get your scripture on that. Now, the mature church is one of the best synonyms I can come up with at this point for the kingdom. He is the fullness of the body, and he has given everything under our feet because we are in kingdom. People think because they're saved that they get all those kingdom scriptures. So is there a difference between kingdom and salvation? To me, absolutely. That's why I made that chart a few years ago that said spirit, soul, and body, salvation, spirit, soul, and body, kingdom. But I don't hear much about kingdom. So how can we learn anything about kingdom? How will we learn about kingdom? Study to show yourself approved. I like that. I like that. Here's one way. Mark 4:25. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night, and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. This is what the kingdom's like. Do you remember how he taught Nicodemus? John 3. He says, you got to be born again to see the kingdom. You got to be born again to get into the kingdom. People say, well, that's nice. I'm really going to focus on getting born again then. And then he said, when you're born of the Spirit, it's like the wind. It blows. You don't know where it comes from or where it goes. You do not know how, but you see the effect. How he himself does not know. There are things you don't know in the carnal realm that you can only know in the spiritual realm. To you it has been revealed. Things that have not entered the ear, the eye, or the heart. The mystery. And he says, the soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. And when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I'm going back here because I want to add something to what we've already talked about. What's he saying here? The kingdom. This is not salvation. This is the kingdom. What's it like? It's like sowing and reaping. It's like putting out a word. Do you remember the time we spent in Isaiah 55? Do you remember what we learned in Isaiah 55? Especially 55:11. So now, here's kingdom. And kingdom activity. Is this provision? Or is this creation? This is sowing and reaping. Something is being produced, not already provided. There's a difference between salvation and kingdom. You put the seed on the ground, you go to bed night, you get up by day. The seed sprouts and grows. There's something happening in the kingdom realm. You don't even know how. You just have to walk according to the instruction. So now when I'm praying for salvation, how long does it take for it to be produced? And it was produced 2,000 years ago. How long, when you're in kingdom, does it take to produce? The biblical answer, the spiritual answer, is in Psalm 1. You meditate on the word day and night. It makes you like a tree planted by streams of water, whose leaf does not wither, and who brings forth fruit in season. It takes a season for most sowing and reaping. Some crops are faster than others. Not too many people around here farm asparagus. You know why that is? The cash crop is in the fourth year. You didn't know that about asparagus, did you? I'm really disappointed. So if you want cash in the third year, pick something else. The kingdom produces things. Who produces them? Someone sent me this thing that was Todd White doing the Don't Blame God thing in 2002. And he's explaining you don't blame God because people say, well, God put the sickness on you. Well, no, God didn't. And, well, God permitted it. And then he argues against that. Well, God did permit it. If he gave you free will, then he permitted it. You know, the queen let me go 55 in a 50. She didn't come by. She didn't stop it. She permitted it. She has the aircraft to get over here. She has the lights and the people to enforce it. But she let me go 55 in a 50. She permitted it. And so that's kind of a foolish, it's what I call vain controversy. That's what Paul, I think, called it. Where you're arguing about things that are nonsensical. God gives you the earth to fill and subdue. Now Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And then he says, two of you on earth have to agree. And it happens. And whatever you loose is loosed. Whatever you bind is bound. So who's letting the devil do what the devil wants? Who has the authority in the kingdom? When you go out and establish the kingdom, what was our scripture on Sunday? That was a long time ago. That was way back. That was 2 days ago. You don't remember that long. But it was Matthew 10. And you were to go out proclaiming the kingdom. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons. Who's running the devil on earth? Well, God's permitting it. Well, that's right. He gave us the keys to the kingdom. So he is permitting it. And so was the ebb and flux of the universe permitting it, because it's there, and we're in the universe. Kind of dumb. What we have to run is our place in the kingdom. Now, he told Nicodemus how to get into the kingdom. And he told him, everybody born of the Spirit is like that. Everybody born of the Spirit is designed to be in the kingdom, but a lot are not. And then he started telling us about how the kingdom worked by these very simple kind of things. One of the things he's saying a lot of very profound things here, right here, I think, about the kingdom. You don't know about the kingdom, but it's nice. It means God's the king. Well, we got a queen in England. That's nice. What does that mean? Well, it actually means you can go to emergency and get your finger sewed back on or whatever you need, you know. Because there's rules that establish that health protection or support here. They came under the fiat of the king or the queen, as she inherited it from her father. Anyway, that's not what's really important. What's important is, did you go to the hospital to get your finger sewed back on? In other words, what are you doing in the kingdom? Don't sit around arguing about theology. Learn the kingdom. Here's the thing we're going to learn tonight. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, goes to bed at night, gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He doesn't even know. I come to you and say, Wenzel, you cut your finger off or something once. The Lord grew it back on. So, okay, you didn't need emergency. But if you were going to go to emergency, did you know how emergency got to be there? Like what statutes were passed and what money appropriation was brought in and how did they get medical staff and how did they train them in order to... Did you know how that was done? Or did you stop and study it before you drove to the hospital? Yeah. Just don't worry about it. How? He himself does not know. But he casts seed upon the soil. The sower sows the word. That was what he said in the column just before it, at least in my Bible, same page. He said, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. Now the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, goes to bed at night, gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. Something is happening spiritually when you act spiritually. When you sow the word, the soil will produce that crop. What is the soil? Your heart. He meditates on it day and night. Now, one of the things I drew out of here before was from Genesis. Get one job done before you get another job done. I think that's Luke 17 as well, isn't it? He who is faithful in a little can be faithful in a lot. That was the steward. It's activity. It's doing things. It's producing something. But you don't get your salvation by works. But I'll tell you something. You get a lot of kingdom by works. The parable of the talents. The instruction to seek first. Now here he's saying something interesting. The kingdom is like this. You sow the word and it's not there. You say the word and you're saved. Now. You sow the word and go to bed and get up. And if you don't know the difference between your salvation and your kingdom, you'll become discouraged because you won't see the blade, the stalk, the head, because you won't be paying attention. You go to bed like a guy who looked in the mirror. You'll forget where you were for two reasons. You try to do too much at once. How many things can you concentrate on at the same time? One? Maybe. On a good day, one. On a bad day, zero. You can't concentrate at all. You know, Kenneth Copeland first proved this. He said, count to ten, and while you're doing it, say your name. Both of those are pretty easy, but you got to focus on one or the other. Try it. Count to ten, and while you're doing it, say your name. You kind of lose it, don't you? You got to go one place or the other. Well, it's sort of like that in the spirit. You're going to cast seed upon the soil, and you're going to go to bed and get up while your spirit produces that word. How long does that take? Well, we gave a general answer. A season. Kingdom, you produce things in season. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, in other words, if we're born again, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let's go get some kingdom. What do you mean walk by the Spirit's kingdom? You get the kingdom wherever your foot can tread, wherever you can focus and establish. Now, you can do more than one thing. You probably can't do many more than one thing at one time. I know a lady who got her nursing degree and her fine arts degree at the same time. But that's unusual. And actually she didn't. She split her day. She spent 18 hours, 9 hours on nursing, 9 hours on fine arts. She said, there's 24 hours in a day. She could handle it. But she was splitting it so that she could focus on one thing at a time. She just put them both on the table more or less at the same hour. Now, Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of God is like a man who's letting his spirit produce something. In other words, it's not there. He doesn't know how it gets there. He allows his spirit to produce it. And when it's ready, it will be in the material realm. It will be harvested when it's ready. When it's ready, things will cascade. Unless you use a different kind of dishwasher. Let's go on in Matthew to 25. We're going to learn a little kingdom. Matthew 25. Now Matthew always calls it the kingdom of heaven. Mark always calls it the kingdom of God. Did you ever notice that? Of course you do, because you study kingdom all the time. Matthew 25. Here's something interesting. Then, well, why is then? 24:42. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know the day your Lord is coming. 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the king, the bridegroom of the kingdom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in their flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, come out and meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." Category 2 on the word. There's nothing in there. There's no root in them. The word does not have a place. The kingdom is not established. The kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Oil represents the spirit. But the kingdom is not established. And they try and bore with. There are people who are born again who are looking for someone else to do their kingdom. Someone else to be in church every Sunday, believing the Spirit in and healing the sick and raising the dead and driving out the demons. While they're, I don't know, go to the Jets game or something. But they're looking for someone else. While they're category 4, cares and pleasures, or they're category 2. I believe I'm saved, and I've been brought up and raised to think that if I'm saved, everything is mine. Well, yeah, it's yours. Are you going to the hospital or not? It's yours. No, someone will come from the hospital and sew my finger on. Good luck. The kingdom is yours so that you can produce something. So that you've got enough spirit to produce something. So that you are ready. Mark 4:25 says, be ready. Go to bed, get up, and get ready. Tune your spirit. Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above. Get ready in the spirit so that you know how to pull when it's time to pull. Paul preaching in Acts is preaching, and he sees a man who has faith to be healed. He sees a man who's heard enough word to be ready, and he pulls him into health. But at midnight there was a shout. The harvest is ready. The miracle's here. Behold the bridegroom. Come out and meet him. All the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, some with no root at all. Some with no spirit. Some with no kingdom, can I say? Now why do I get off on that? Because I read the first verse, then the kingdom of heaven. He's teaching kingdom in all these places, and we're not getting kingdom. We think we can go our merry way, and that's where you get the me gospel creeping in. Well, I'm saved, and I love Jesus, and I go, and I really like the worship and the presence of God. And I'm hoping the church will get me something. I'm hoping someone else will do the harvest for me. I'm hoping someone else is ready. Because if I get in trouble, I just get on the old prayer chain and hope someone in that chain has faith. Especially two of them. And so I'm not sure, because all my friends are kind of like me. So I better get 1,000 people in my prayer chain. And if 1,000 will agree, maybe 2 will actually agree. Because if 2 on earth agree, it is done. Do you know that? If you don't know it, your category, 2 or 1. I say category in order to honor those among us who have studied the categories. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be a kind thing? I'll tell you something. I can bring you into kingdom, but I can't give you mine. Do you understand that? But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us. And you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. But while they're going away to make the purchase, hey, we better get on this, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready harvested. Put in the sickle. He's watching day by night and night by day because he's knowing things are moving. I don't know how, but I can tell you this, they're moving. I can tell you that. Rule number 1, God works with whatever you believe. What do you mean? I mean, it's like a man who casts seed upon the soil. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, to the harvest, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. And he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. When is the harvest ready? I don't know, but we'll get around to that. We'll get around to that. Mark, again, no longer in 4, but in 11. It takes a while to observe the production in the kingdom. There is something on the earth where the kingdom runs. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, that's the kingdom of heaven. Thy will be done on earth. That's the kingdom of God. They're the same. On earth, as it is and ever shall be in heaven. We have something we call time. Category 2, they were only temporary. Their time had no eternity to it. They had nothing. They had not set their minds on things above. When they go to bed and they get up, they are to meditate day and night on the word. What word? The word you're casting on the soil. Farmer goes out, sows out corn on the soil. He goes to bed and says, I wonder how my neighbor's beans are doing. I wonder how the rice crop's going in China. I wonder how, never mind. He says, I wonder how corn's doing. I wonder what the price of corn is today. I wonder where the corn's going good this year. I wonder when my corn's going to be ready. I can see the blade. My corn's coming in. He stays focused. It's Luke 18, in case you're wondering. Luke 18 is not about salvation. It's about dealing even with the kings of this world or the judges of this world. It takes time to sow and reap. To everything turns, turns, turns. And a time for every purpose under heaven. I'll name 2 purposes under heaven. In other words, they're on the earth. number one. Number two, the earth, as long as the earth remains, shall have seed time and harvest. There is time in here. You know how many people lose it? They got saved in a blaze of glory. Happened right away. Billy Graham said, come on down, the price is right, and they went. And they walked out saved, born again, if I can put it that way. Maybe they weren't saved that night, but we say they're saved. But their spirits were saved, and they were born again. So now they want something out of the kingdom. And they can't figure out why it doesn't appear overnight. Must not be God's will. I'll tell you what God's will is. His will is that the kingdom that he has in heaven will be on earth. And the kingdom's like this. You cast seed upon the soil and go to bed and get up and look for the blade. Go get it. Farm it. Husband it. Fill it. Subdue it. Walk by the Spirit. Put your foot on that territory and make it yours. How much territory does it give us? Way more than we're ever going to take, if you really want to know. There is some territory you shouldn't go after. But there's way more territory than you'll ever get to. Now, if you read certain accounts, it says Jesus cursed a fig tree and it withered immediately. But you read the other accounts and you find out that the disciples didn't notice it until the next day. Jesus knew how to reap faster than you. But he'd like you to get there. He'd like you to get there. Jesus' status is a status as the Christ, not as the one who does faster miracles or greater miracles. You'll do greater miracles if you want to move in on it. His status won't change. You still got to know him. And he's still the boss. When evening came, they would go out of the city. And as they were passing by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. See, they saw it now. Jesus had it yesterday. And being reminded, Peter said to him, Rabbi, being a little pious, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered, saying to him, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain... Now, is he talking salvation here? When you curse fig trees, does that get you into heaven? Just a question. What kind of fig tree do you have to curse to get into heaven? How many do you have to wither before you get there? If you want to be a saint, how many miracles do you have to do? That's another kind of question. Never mind. All right. We'll leave that. Some people could answer that. And it's got to be certified by the Pope. So. Okay. Have faith in God. Truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea. What? You mean he just starts saying something? It's kind of like casting seed upon the soil. He just throwing a word out there. I mean, wasn't there a special promise for fig trees back in Jeremiah somewhere? Be taken up and cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart. His soil is good. Or as Luke says, an honest and patient heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen. When I put a seed out, I have to believe something is going to happen. It's called harvest. You don't harvest your seed. You harvest the fruit. I am talking what here? Salvation? I'm talking kingdom that he's trying to get you into. The kingdom that is not shaken. The kingdom that survives the storm. The kingdom that's founded on the rock. The kingdom that recognizes these principles and instructions of the Lord Jesus are worth keeping rather than twisting for your convenience and thinking that the kingdom falls to you because you love Jesus. The kingdom of God is like this. A man loves Jesus and things pop out of the clouds for him. No. Erroneous statement. Go back up on the tape. Get to the beginning. Start again. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen. If you haven't got there, you haven't put seed in the soil yet. If your heart does not believe that that's going to happen, you haven't put any seed in the soil yet. You have not cast the word upon the soil. You've just cast it out there. Maybe before dogs. Maybe before your prayer chain. Maybe before swine. If you've done that, it's going to be really tough later on. But if you've put it on the soil and believing it is going to happen, the next phrase is very interesting. It will be. King James says, he shall have whatever he's saying. Or whatsoever he saith. If you like saith better than saying. Especially if it's not your first language, you can. Okay. Now. All right. Therefore, I say to you, all things, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom. Your Father knows you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom, and your Father knows you have need of it more than he knows about the sparrows and the lilies. Seek first the kingdom and all these what? Things will be added to you. Do we believe it? Yeah, we believe it. We're seeking the kingdom. Okay, what do you know about the kingdom? Nothing. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. That's a seed on the soil. I believe in my heart what I'm saying is going to happen. I believe in my heart what I'm saying right now is going to happen. And if I feel good again in a week, I'm going to believe it again. And if I feel good again tomorrow, I'll believe it tomorrow. That if I don't feel good, I'm going to say, well, God must not wanted me to have it. It wasn't, what's that phrase Christians use? It wasn't meant to be. In other words, God's running my life. Why'd he even tell me to do this? If it's meant to be, then he'll do it. And if it's not meant to be, he won't do it. And I just go my way. I trust God. God has everything under control. There isn't a scripture anywhere for any of that. What? Shakespeare. Oh. Shakespeare 7:3. Okay. Therefore I say to you, all things which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. Well, that's just running with what was up there in verse 23. And guess what? So is the rest of this verse. And they will be you. The translators add granted. You could say given. Or you could say produced for. If you're just going to add something. And you want to add it in line with Mark 4, Mark 11. They will be produced for you to reap. Now, I want you to see this. He is telling you how to deal with the time between sowing and reaping. First of all, he's telling you this. There is a time. He's saying it again. There is a time between kingdom saying. There isn't a time between salvation saying. Salvation's already there. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... What was the greatest gift again? Anyway. So God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but shall have. He gave. Is there. And as many as believed on him, to them he gave the power. That's John 1:12, right? To be the sons of God. So, it's there. Salvation has already been provided. Bought and paid for. On the cross. Kingdom. Kingdom's provided. But the things of the kingdom are not produced yet. Who produces them? The man who casts seed upon the soil. The one who says to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. If you go to a faith church, you go to a Creflo Dollar, Kenneth Hagin, Jesse Duplantis, Jerry Savelle church, they almost get to kingdom, but all they do is get to faith. Because they tell you that you believe you have received and it's coming. But they don't tell you that's things in the kingdom, not things in your salvation. It's kingdom Jesus is teaching more than faith. But how do you walk in the kingdom? We walk by faith and not by sight. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That's by faith. Okay, I'm walking by faith. What do? I speak kingdom. I speak Mark 4:25. And I go to bed and I get up and it will produce I don't know how. He's showing you how the kingdom works. It works by faith. But it isn't a focus on faith. Seek first the faith. If Jesus tells you to seek the kingdom, find out how that works in the kingdom. That's what we're doing tonight. We're looking at how faith works in the kingdom. Faith works differently in salvation. It's already there. As many as received him. They didn't have to ask for him. They just had to receive him. He was there. Well, what about the things? They weren't there. And when they're not there, the faith is an evidence of a thing not seen. It's a substance of things hoped for. Well, then what happens? Well, we like to think God's doing it for us. Isn't it marvelous? No, actually, the kingdom's doing it for you. The kingdom is like this. A man casts seed upon the soil. What's his soil? His spirit. His spirit. He holds it in his spirit. In a good, honest heart. He holds it in there. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't walk away. He doesn't forget what he looks like. He holds it in there. That's what the scripture says. And he produces 30, 60, 100 of it. That's kingdom. You get to do things. You get to loose things. You get to bind things. You get to have faith in God and say whatever you want to say. If you had faith like a mustard seed, you'd say to that mulberry tree, "Be thou uprooted and planted in the sea." Then what does Jesus say? "And God will do it for you." Didn't Jesus say that? No, he didn't. He said, "It will obey you. You're part of the kingdom. Behold, I give you authority." Kingdom has a different wrinkle than salvation. You say and you believe you have, and it will be. There is a seed time. There is a harvest. Who harvests? The one who holds in the soil the words they are speaking. Or, that's Mark 4. Mark 11, the one who believes in his heart the things he is saying. I used to really get annoyed at my daughter when she was young, like 10, 11. And we'd all sit down for a nice little Saturday night, and the gang would be over and the cousins were in. And everybody wanted to play Risk or Monopoly or something like that. And, you know, and they'd sucker me into playing this game. And I'm trying to outmaneuver everybody on the Monopoly board. And she's sitting there saying, "I'm going to win this game," rolls the dice. "I'm going to win this game," rolls the dice. "I'm going to win this game." She wins the game. It just used to bug me. I didn't know how to counter that. I didn't want to start saying, "No, I'm going to win this game." That'd kind of be mean, right? But I knew she was believing this thing, and she would win the game. She didn't know a thing about Monopoly. I was an old pro. "I'm going to win this game. No one's going to eat fruit from you again. You'll be uprooted and planted in the sea. It obeys you." Somebody said that. It obeys you. Why does it obey you? Because you go to bed and you get up like a man who's put seed on the soil. You meditate on that word. You don't allow other words. You don't have a double-minded man. You don't have salt and fresh water coming out of your mouth. You don't speak blessing and cursing at the same time. You stop that. You bring this under control. Why? Because you are running a kingdom. And the kingdom expects you to be under authority and to exercise authority. Now, how important do you have to be in that kingdom? You have to be born again. Then you can see it, and then you can enter it. And he told all these stories so that you'd understand kingdom, because that's where you operate. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven has also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Watch how your heart is when you're operating in the kingdom. Someone said to me, "That can't be true, because then it'd be works to get into salvation. Because if he won't forgive you, then you're not forgiven. You're not going to heaven." I didn't know where to start on that one. This is a kingdom passage, not a salvation passage. If you're not forgiven, you're not operating in kingdom. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? I'm telling you to operate properly. I'm telling you how to be a neighbor and a fellow believer. I'm telling you how to operate in the church, how to operate in the family. I'm telling you, and you're ignoring me, and you think you're going to go somewhere in the kingdom? You're not. That's exactly what he's saying here. But he wants you to go somewhere in the kingdom. That's why you've been studying kingdom for 20 years. It's the first thing on your list. It's before you look for the good worship song and the neat prayer or the prophetic word. You look for the kingdom. Why? I'm told to seek it first. And then everything else is added to me. That includes the worship and the prayer and the presence. I never knew you, he says, to people who weren't ready, even though they all were lined up for the bridegroom. You could have more than one wife back then. It was the basis of the Mormon... No, never mind. Anyway, we'll get... Let's go to Luke 18, just to finish. We won't spend much time there. I just want to leave you thinking. Now, he's telling them a parable. Oh, a parable! To show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Why would they not want to lose heart? Because it's not salvation. Kingdom is a process of producing. It's like a man who casts seed upon the soil. He goes to bed. He gets up. First the blade. It's a production of seed and harvest. Don't lose heart. Don't lose your spirit, because that's what's producing it. Saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while, he was unwilling. But afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I'll give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. She will achieve what she is saying. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? Did it say he'd bring out salvation? This is a kingdom passage. I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? You can ask the Father for things, and he'll do it for you. Seed time and harvest. Asking and receiving. Sowing, reaping, giving, receiving. Kingdom operates through time. He will bring about quickly. He'll shorten your time when you're focused, not when you wander away. He will shorten the time. The scripture says we can even shorten the time for the Lord Jesus' return. So, because of that, I'm ending 6 minutes early. We are going to shorten the time. Just to get a little kingdom in here tonight. You got all those people saying, well, you know, the word, it was kind of type and shadow, and it was, Jesus was trying to teach principles, and he was a philosopher. Jesus was a king. And all the people who don't obey him say his word doesn't work. But there's more and more people seeing it work.